Okay, we're ready to go anytime you want.
Right, give me some sound effects.
Okay. And meet me.
Words you never hear Robin say.
Right?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 724 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today, March 5th, 2023. I am one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And that is my son right next to the door, which hopefully my wife will correct momentarily. On today's show, not only do we have my son, but we have the lovely, sultry, beautiful Robin Tate.
Hey, it's me. It's me in my tablecloth shirt tonight. And I'm here, and I'm on the show. And that's success.
Indeed.
That is a level of success, Robin. We cannot deny that. We'll talk about that later. Or not, maybe. Also on the show, it's Kim.
Yay!
I'm just kidding. Kim, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here. Don't mind my Dennis the Menace cowlick that I've got going on at the moment. It just won't stay where it's supposed to, so fuck it. Here we are. Let's face it, though, you've all saved me worse, so what the hell. Anyway, happy to be here. It's 50 degrees in the land of Missouri, and, well, unfortunately, the warm weather will not stay, but I'm enjoying it while it lasts, so.
And it is 52 degrees here in sunny California.
Nice.
Where it's actually, that would be technically cold for California, so.
Well.
Anyway, it's all good. Robin, yeah. What is the temperature check currently in Northern Ireland?
Give me 30 seconds. And not even 30 seconds.
I was just going to say 30 seconds. Holy crap.
5 degrees here? What does that mean to you?
Is that 5 degrees Celsius?
That's real money. So
real money.
Yeah, so what is that in your language? 25? 30?
Well, okay, so Celsius is not real money. That's just nonsense stuff. But 5 degrees, I'm going to put that. Are you guys in freezing temperature, like snow, or is it above snow?
It's going to be
right around like
just
35,
above,
just 38.
Above. Yeah, 5 degrees.
Let's see if my guessing is accurate.
Fahrenheit, okay, which is 41.
Okay, that was a little off.
It's cool.
41, that's cool. Not too bad. That's chilly.
It's cooler.
But it's nighttime. It is nighttime. The sun is down, so, you know.
Yeah, well, it'll get down to 4. So,
And
tomorrow's peak at 2 p.m. will be 4.
See, here's my problem with Celsius.
It makes sense.
Zero is freezing.
Don't you get it?
No matter what temperature, Robin, it's always cold.
I know, but when you get to zero, it means it's freezing. I mean, you guys have it freezing at something like, 25?
30.
What is that all about? Degrees. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It doesn't.
But you motorboat yourself out of this one.
When
you say it's 33 degrees, that doesn't seem hot. That just seems cold.
It's bloody hot for here.
No, I tell you it's 100 degrees, and you're like, oh, shit, that's hot.
Yeah, well, it's 100
degrees. Welcome to the OC Podcast Weather Channel.
Yeah, well, 100 degrees here, we'd all be dead, so, you know.
That's true. You probably would be dead.
Right.
Hey, if you haven't figured it out yet, people, we are a video game podcast. We actually like to talk about video games. We talk about entertainment. We talk about life. Lots of different things. We do it every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And we always want to try and include our central friends. So 3 p.m. in the central time zone.
Thank you. I feel included.
You're welcome. We do this on YouTube. We do it on Twitch. Come join live. It's almost fun. I swear, almost. We try to recognize everybody in the chat. As long as you're not an asshole, we will definitely, befriend you. We are a little bit of a more adult show, if you haven't figured that out also. So we do occasionally drop the curse word here and there. We try to be civilized. What else can I say about this show other than maybe we should just push forward? We will have an audio version of the podcast. That I can say. Mm-hmm. That'll happen probably tomorrow.
Yep.
And then you can listen to it while you're jogging to the oldies.
Yeah.
Robin.
Yeah.
We had some birthdays. Mm-hmm. So I think we should recognize the fact that JT Vanderweed. Is that right? Vanderweed?
Yes.
Is that how you'd say that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm horrible with last names. That's why I get this job.
Yep.
1-59. I'm not sure what that means.
I don't either.
Hold on. See if I understand me.
I'm assuming I didn't put this one the 10th.
So. The 10th and
it could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, maybe.
Where's the minus beside? It could be the 10th. That would be the. That would be. Hold on. Let's just correct it here for go. There you
right,
go.
So, JT celebrating a birthday on the 10th, along with Andy Palmer from Arcade Club, and both of them celebrating birthdays that they probably don't want to really recognize anymore because they have crossed the half century mark. It happens, people. It's okay. You've got plenty of years ahead of you. There's a long road.
Hey, I'm almost there.
Mr. Yeah, Vanderweed is almost 60.
I didn't want to say it. Yeah. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, I'm the same age as you. Funny, I had to phone my brother this week to wish my brother a happy birthday this week. And he's one of those really odd guys because I've had more birthdays than him, but he's older than me. So that's a strange one, isn't it? He's a 29th of February, man. So yeah.
Okay.
So you never quite know which when should you phone him on the 28th to wish him happy birthday or the 1st or what?
Alien baby. Yeah, that's what that boils down to.
Yeah. So I've had more birthdays.
All right. Well, I think we should play them a birthday song, Robin,
happy
if we
birthday
have one.
To you. Happy
Sound
birthday
effects.
To you. Happy birthday. Insert name here.
Gentleman was not recognized.
Well done. Yes, sound effects. Everything working perfectly, Robin.
Yeah, I sound wonderful.
Echoes. As far as we know, everybody can hear us. It is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's saying anything in the chat, so it must be fine, I'm assuming.
That or they're literally just muted us because they didn't want to hear anymore.
God, not crappy
anyway,
audio.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in the ever... The ever attempt to keep things fresh, lively, and a little bit different from what we've been doing of late, we're going to dive into what we have been playing first, Robin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser. All right. Speaking of pathetic losers, let's get this out of the way first. Robin, what have you been playing this past week?
Yeah, well, my week has been strange. I was away last weekend and I didn't get home until Monday evening, took Tuesday off, spent it. Well, this is a bit of what we were doing, sort of playing or getting. So I was a bit tired. So it was Tuesday evening. I had a race and some practice and... I think I raced on Wednesday and I had a lot of people watching and I didn't expect to be doing terribly well. And I said, of course, it's Competizione and this track. This was quite new to me. It's a tiny little, horrible little track in Hungary, the Hungaroring. But I qualified in 5th, done a fantastic start and went up to 3rd. And the guy in 2nd after a lap or 2 put it in the wall. So I was running in a nice 2nd place. It was fantastic. And I came through this horrible little chicane and I was saying, yeah, okay, we just ease through here and then we give it plenty. And I give it plenty into the wall. And completely destroyed my car all by myself. And ended up, almost last there. But I did a race straight after it and we had a really good race and we were 6th. So we had a good 6th. So that puts me 72nd in the overall standings of the championship. And we are... in South Africa, in Kyalama, and I managed to get some about 25 or so practice laps in today. We look forward to that. Now, I did,
Robin,
yes.
You know, we there needs to be commentary here, Robin. I feel like we need to help you understand how you finished out within the race.
Okay, give me. You've got a sound effect, don't you? You're gonna.
No. This is live, Robin.
Okay.
Loser.
Oh, I was apologizing to my viewers, and God bless them. you know, I was like five laps in, six laps in, and it was looking great and great going, Robin. Brilliant start and in the wall. Yeah.
I give you a hard time. You are a far better racer than I will ever be. So,
No, I wouldn't say that. It's just
I would totally say that.
So, it's still going well. This week has been a bit of a challenge, but we'll get to that. I think I was 70th in the overall standings. So with my win last week, I'm 70 down two spots, 72nd out of the 2.5 or nearly 3,000 people in that league. We'll crack on, and hopefully I'll get a bit more time this week. So I would have cut that video up and put some highlights up, but it hasn't happened over the last few days. So
that's okay. I definitely understand.
Now, what I did do was I actually installed some games on my phone. Do you know what? I've got this fantastic device that I spent over £500 on, which I've used once or twice. So that's really bad. But I did install through the Netflix gaming thing, because in Netflix, the Valiant Hearts, which one is it? Sorry, it's like a sequel to Valiant Hearts.
Know that was that already.
I just put it on the phone and went, oh, okay, yeah, that'd be very, very playable. Sorry, just to get the name here, because it doesn't say it on the little icon. But I loved Valiant Hearts. Valiant Hearts was a game about World War One, and this is Valiant Hearts Coming Home, it's called. And it looks like Valiant Hearts. I mean, it looks that same sort of style. And if I touch a screen there, probably I'll go continue. Uh-huh. And I know this is not perfect, but that's the boyo.
Nice.
They have Valiant Hearts 3 in production. It's Valiant Hearts 3 Postal Worker.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was basic enough graphics in this game. Lovely sort of paper drawn, hand drawn graphics. But the story of the World War One thing was fantastic. It was really, really good. So I'm going to give that a crack as I go. So that should be a bit of fun, I suppose. And that's what
I'll be curious to see, because I'm assuming it's all touchscreen.
Yeah. Control, but I mean, really, there wasn't that much. It was like go left, go right. There wasn't really much platforming in it. It was more basic puzzle solving, and this is the main story. So we'll see. Kim, I know you liked that too, so we'll see how we get on with that. So
yeah, I'll have to download it and give it a go.
Yeah,
I very much like the first Valiant Hearts. I jest a little bit about the whole, you know, postal worker, because you think about the guys that came back from these world wars, they didn't have jobs. They ended up having to take kind of government gigs or honestly, at that point in time, I think for U.S. soldiers coming home, they ended up probably not getting a job. And we had the Great Depression hitting. So
that what, all three of you that went into World War One, or was there more of you went to World War
One? Three of us.
Yeah, four maybe.
At least five.
You're like halfway through World War Two, yeah?
Don't even start, mister. Don't even start. Because as far as we know, Northern Ireland, you guys were just like, we'll just let everybody in the UK fight.
No, the south of Ireland were like, was it Sweden that they were, or Norway? They were like non-committal, and they were German fans.
For a while, they're like, you know what?
Yeah, that Hitler boy, he's not so bad. Come on in there, Mr. Hitler. Yeah, absolutely.
He's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, a bit like the royal family as well. But anyway, the south of Ireland. Yeah, but Northern Ireland, funny enough, during the wars, literally... the next little village along from me, Port Glenone, and the Americans called it Port Glenone. There was a big army camp, an air base there, and there was air bases all over Northern Ireland. So it was mostly American ones, because it was sort of the first drop-off point here, and there was a big, massive contingent of American soldiers in Northern Ireland.
Funny, by the way, you notice how he said earlier in this little soiree that, you know, we weren't basically missing an action for those wars, and now suddenly, oh no, we had a very big air base there. Yeah. I see how it is, Rob.
In World War II.
Forgetful.
Yeah, halfway through. Yeah, I mean, you stayed here and impregnated our women.
Somebody had to do it. Hey, so the real takeaway from here, Valiant Hearts 2 is out.
And if you have Netflix on mobile and you have a mobile phone, there's a whole section in your mobile phone when you go on Netflix for gaming.
So weird. But I mean,
I know, right?
And I mean, it's,
I'll check it out. I never knew.
It's quality stuff.
I love it.
Hmm.
Kim.
Yes.
Let's talk about things that you love.
Okay. Well, we'll be here. No, I'm just kidding. I played some Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer. Well, yesterday, actually. I think a little bit before that. I can't remember. But anyway, it was good, like always. I mean, there was terrible games where we lost and had our asses handed to us. And then there were games like...
By the way, I mean, I appreciate you not trying to say it right now, but I mean, yesterday you were just like, fucking boomer cannot... I mean, I'm carrying him left and right.
Oh, it's terrible.
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, hi, Boomer, but, in the chat, by the way.
Right? We had one match on farm.
I approve this message.
And it was a death match. And there was one guy, like always, because there's always that one guy that runs around trying to knife people, right? And we all kind of figured in pretty soon who the hell it was. So we all started to gang up on the poor guy. I mean, the guy couldn't move for shit without one of us blasting away at him on something. Because it's bad enough somebody was carrying around an LMG, and we'd killed him. And they were still sitting there with the LMG, just blowing the fuck out of his corpse. So it was hilarious as hell. I'm surprised the guy didn't get mad and, like, leave the match because we were killing him so badly. But he stuck around. I don't know. I guess he thought we were all having fun, I guess. I don't know. But that was a high point. And anyway, with Season 2, of course, now there's new maps. And those were strange to get used to because I hadn't played them yet. So, yeah, you know, like I said, I would have played Friday, but as probably seen on Twitter, I was still not feeling very well, and I fell asleep on the couch, and sorry, my bad. But we will try again Friday night, Saturday, whatever.
Hey, yeah. You know what? In fairness, Friday, like, completely went sideways on me, too, so... the whole work thing sometimes,
right?
It just has a way of just invading my own time.
I've been trying
to be good about, you know, paying attention to work stuff, but anyway,
I understand. Yeah, well, I finally got some kid free weekend, so, you know, like,
yes.
I said, if not Friday night, we could do it Saturday night, because like I said, we were up from till like 9:30 or something last night playing, so till my voice almost failed on me and I was down to a whisper. So
yeah, for the record, this really makes us sound really old.
I know.
We were up to like 9:30 last night. My voice was going, oh my God, it was so exciting.
Oh, I know.
Hey, so. Don't worry. We'll get up to 10 o'clock at least in Vegas. At least 10.
I'm fearful about Vegas now.
I don't blame you. But after that, I played a little Hi-Fi Rush again this week on my Razer Edge. So.
All right.
Neat little thing. I'm you know, I'm getting along with it really well. So, and Hi-Fi Rush is just the perfect game to play on that thing. So, I'm still enjoying it. I still have no rhythm.
Hey, you know what? But that's the best part about that game is even if you don't have rhythm, you still can get through it. It's not going to penalize you.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, I still have a very fond look back on that game. I totally see it being in my top five.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's really good. I like it. And like I said, Mark, you know, you keep bitching about it. I think you at least ought to try it. I'm just saying. So.
Yeah. I've already told Mark where he can take his wand.
I know, right?
So, yeah.
Anyway, that was it for me this week. There wasn't a whole hell of a lot, you know, going on. Like I said, I've been sick. So.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of sleeping on the couch. So.
Real quickly, speaking of Mark, speaking of Phil.
Right.
I know we weren't speaking of Phil, but we're going to throw Phil into this.
Right.
So we're talking today about the podcast and who wants to come on. And I, you know, shot out a funny little note. At least I thought it was funny. Just to try and gauge interest on everybody. And
right.
And maybe it's because I said, you know, to Phil, we could talk about bacon or not. You know, I did notice that Phil was on, like, totally jumped in the chat, was all, like, eager, talking about Battlefield and how he was playing. And Mark was playing Battlefield. And it's like, well, okay, great. Let's do the podcast and crickets.
Right.
Oh no, sorry. Can't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
No.
Uh-huh.
Not happening.
Uh-huh.
You know.
I see how it is. All right. By the way, Battlefield. Have you tried playing it again yet or not?
I have not, but I need to. And Boomer, this goes out to you. It is on Game Pass on the, you know, EA, whatever the hell it is. So We ought to try and get at least one Battlefield night on to see how it gets along, because apparently Mark and Phil both are, you know, screaming its merits, so apparently it's gotten better. So we ought to at least give it a shot for the old days, because we were Battlefield people. So
I know. I'm down for that. Absolutely down for that.
So we'll get something set up.
All right. Well, I guess that leaves me. I have a plethora of games to talk about. So first, Halo. Did our Wednesday Halo session for a very short period of time. Good stuff, as always. One of the things I love is they have added community maps now that they have kind of approved as being maps that you can actually earn experience on. So they're actually part of the main game now, which is great. So it just gives some additional variety. And then let's see. I purchased the Humble Bundle for the Turkey Relief. It's a pretty good bundle, tons of games in that. And what's funny is that the Humble Bundle has become my Steam Deck library.
Yeah. Right.
Thousands of games on there. Keep an eye out for those. Yeah, keep an eye out for them. I buy those up, and then I've got a ton of games to potentially add into the Steam Deck. One of the games I got from the Humble Bundle.
Hundle?
Yeah, I know. The Hundle Bundle. Well, it felt like a Hundle because there was like 100 games in there. It was crazy. It was a ton of games. The Bureau XCOM Declassified. This game, and I got it through one of them. I didn't get it through this particular Humble Bundle, but I had it, and it turns out it's a you know, plays great on the Steam Deck. And so I thought, you know what? What the hell? I'll fire it up. For whatever reason, I played this game back in the day for a short period of time, and I was just okay with it. And I think it's because at the time when it came out, I was really jonesing for a traditional XCOM game, and XCOM 2 hadn't actually launched yet. So I saw this and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good, but not quite as, you know, it just didn't do it for me. And so I kind of fell off of it. On the Steam Deck, this thing is awesome. One, it looks way better than I remember it being. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because I'm playing it on the smaller screen now or what, but I have just been absolutely enjoying it. It plays great on the Steam Deck. So highly recommend if you're just looking for something a little throwback-ish, the Bureau XCOM Declassified. It definitely is a good game for that. Now, Phantom Brigade is a new game that Jason Teflon 212 had shot over a note to me saying, hey, have you seen this? And I had just seen a trailer for it. And it's basically a very battle tech like mech game, turn based tactical strategy. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a chance on it. And so I picked it up. Downloaded it, and I haven't played it. I have no idea how this game plays. I literally just took a shot in the dark. I honestly, it just has mechs in it, so I was like, what the hell, why not?
Sorry, I got the wrong Bureau, and I think I've got the wrong Phantom now as well. Okay, sorry.
I'd say
Phantom Dust, Phantom Bureau.
Phantom of the Opera, sorry.
Slight
mistake, sorry.
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera is also a classic, so... last game that I did play, that I continue to play, and I'm again very much enjoying it, very BioShock vibes. Atomic Heart continues to be on my playlist. This game has gotten a lot of mixed reviews, and rightfully so. I think a lot of people don't really enjoy the story aspect to it. The voice acting is very hit and miss. But I still very much like the combat. I love the environments. It is a challenging game. It's not super easy. You can get killed by the enemy robots very easily. So you do have to kind of go through the game carefully. Mm-hmm. What are we showing now, Robin? I see you laughing. I don't know. I also hear my wife in the background screaming away with my son. So it's, I know that she's reading him a book. So I don't know if that's getting picked up on my audio.
Atomic Heart? Kitten?
Oh, that's definitely not Atomic Heart, but we'll take it. It's Atomic. Play that.
I don't know. That looks a little like a sex bot.
Okay. I know. I would definitely play that. Yeah.
Oh, it's Atomic.
Okay. Yeah. So Atomic Heart. I am enjoying this game, and I would say this. For $30, I think that's the price point. It might be $40, but either way, it's not a full-price game. I think it's worth taking a flyer on. And especially if you have Game Pass, you have there's no reason not to try it out. If you like BioShock, you like that kind of creepy but not horror vibe, that's what this game just oozes. And the story itself, it's not going to wow you. This game is not going to be a Game of the Year contender at the end of the day. However, there's a lot of things they do in this game that are really impressive. And I think from that standpoint, it's worthy of being in a positive conversation. Yeah, you know what? Check it out. Try it. I've been enjoying it. That's all I can say to that.
Good. So nobody tried out Wulong this week, I take it?
Okay. No, I did. I tried it.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. Doesn't sound good.
I tried it for like 5 minutes. And here's my instant gut reaction on Wulong, which may be completely unfair. Mm-hmm. It's a Souls-like Dynasty Warrior.
Yep.
And I really hate one of those two genres, right, or game series. Dynasty Warriors is the one that I just do not care for. And the Souls-like has been very hit and miss for me. Elden Ring is the first one I've really gotten along with and enjoyed.
Right.
So we kind of combined up those two into this, and it just wasn't a terribly enjoyable experience for me.
Right.
So I bounced off of it pretty easily, and it's not a game for me. I'm not going to revisit it.
Right.
So.
Alrighty. Well, the reason I ask is because I'm not great at Souls games or Souls type games, so yeah, it probably won't go very far with me. But I did see a lot of people comparing it to Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, so I didn't know if there was any real deal to that or not. But
no, I mean it's not. It's very polished. It controls very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the complaints for VR, it's just not my type of game that I enjoy.
Right.
If it is a good game from what I can tell, but it's just not a game I'm ever going to really want to play. And gotcha. So for that, I'm like, I'll pass. Mm-hmm. Just like Monster Hunter Rise, I'm sorry, Steve Conger. I cannot get on with that game.
Well, and at least you gave it a shot. So
yeah.
There's that.
I have tried. But, I will just say this. Most Japanese-developed games, ironically or sadly, when they just dig into kind of the more traditional storytelling from a Japanese point of view, mm-hmm. I don't get along with it often.
Right.
But then a game like Hi-Fi Rush comes along and totally surprises me. So I will continue to try these games. I will mm-hmm. try to go in open-minded. And... We're batting with 2 for 3 right now. So
gotcha.
If you want to throw in Persona, it's 2 for 3.
You're sounding about as excited about Wulong as I sounded about playing Fortnite with Anthony. I forgot about that one, by the way. so yeah, he got me to play Fortnite here the other day because he needed somebody. And he was tired of his teammates just leaving him to die. So I, being me, I thought, well, I'll fire it up here on the Razor and try it out. And he was shocked that his old aunt got 2 kills. And I'm just looking at him going, boy, this isn't my first shooter. I've played shooters for a while now. I'm not great at them, but I can hold my own if I need to. So, yeah. So now he's bugging me about Fortnite and playing with him again. And I'm just like, I don't know. Jerry's still out. So.
Well, there's potentially some new changes coming to Fortnite. We'll talk about that when we get to the news section. But,
well, at least I had him do the no build mode, because there was no way in hell I was going to try to shoot people and build shit at the same time. Not happening. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. The no build mode actually has a little appeal for me. That's almost like traditional PUBG.
Right.
So
more colorful.
There's that.
So
yeah, more colorful version. That's fine.
Right.
Anyway. All right. Well, I think from here, Robin, we should get into – let's get into story time. Let's talk about what's been going on this past week.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
Now, before we totally get into story time, Kim, let's give a shout-out to the chat. I do see a few people chatting away.
Yes, Lord and Boomer are in there as well as ourselves. So thank you guys for showing up. I appreciate it. So,
Not just her. We all appreciate it.
Well, yeah, of course.
Thank you very much. Love it.
We're already planning a Battlefield squad, so we're working on it. So because Lord is also a Battlefield fan, so we'll see what we can do.
All right. Robin, I'm going to give you a choice here.
Uh-oh.
First, second, or third? In which order would you like to appear?
Well, let's go around the houses a wee bit and do bits and pieces. So,
all right, let's do bits and pieces. I like that.
I had a really challenging week. I was away this time last week. I was away. I did podcast, but I was in a little hotel room. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good meeting the day after, and then drove up home and was knackered. And on the Tuesday, we went to the spa with Judith, took the day off. It was lovely. Dropped the kids off at school in the morning and spent all day in the spa to 2:30. It was fantastic. Greg, you've been there, so you can imagine it was lovely. And they've extended it again and added a whole pile more areas, and it's fab. As you know or don't know, we foster some children, and we had some really challenging things happen through the week there that I can't go into detail, but it was the worstest through the week. And
yeah, it was pretty nightmarish. Yeah. To kind of put an adjective to it.
I got some new toys all arrived. So I had mentioned the dilemma I had about the microphone and stuff like that there arriving. Mm-hmm. But it actually arrived. So this boyo here, a Elgato Wave DX, came. I'm not using it here. I'm using it on the rig, and it sounds wonderful. So I've got that. And the other thing which we're actually podcasting on this evening is this boyo, which is a Rodecaster Pro. A very, very nice mixing deck with all XLR inputs. And that's not for me. It's for my good lady behind. But if I can scooch over here. There is a little podcast table. There's a curtain you can see on the ceiling there. You should see up above there is a curtain that goes around, and this little table with all the microphones are all set up. I've ran all the cables over, all nice, neat and tidy, and the girls are now setting a date. I have to force them almost to do this. This piece of hardware is a fabulous piece of kit. It is, I mean, tonight, this is the first time tonight, and I was a bit concerned, but it's such a doddle to set up. Is it a bit extreme if you just wanted to do a solo podcast like we do here. But I mean, right now it's for the girls, literally on this deck, there is one button, record. And when the microphones do their levels, they don't even need the computer set on. There's a micro SD card in it, even though right now it's also piped in to USB. But tonight we're recording on that, recording on OBS, recording on Skype. So lots of redundancy, but as far as they're concerned, all they have to do is hit one big red button and then they talk. For the first time
you know what's going to happen though.
I know.
They're going to be gone. They're going to go to hit the big red button and nothing's going to happen.
You'll be getting
the emergency phone call.
This is me trying to encourage. Did someone just hit start? Kim, you just hit starting to record, didn't you? Didn't you just?
Yes,
hit the, yeah,
I
yeah,
did.
Yeah, threw the cameras off.
That's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to
find me
a big sign up here, you know, so that way I see it.
So it's lovely. It has sound effects built into it. It's lots of excellent trickery going on inside it. I was a bit concerned about the echo and the podcast tonight, but it doesn't seem to have been an issue. It has trickery going on inside it there. It has a sound effects board built into it. There's stuff you can actually do with this here as well. Is there is a Bluetooth connection, so if I connected my phone up right now and someone was to call my phone, I can whiz up that slider and they're straight on the call. That could be a WhatsApp call, it could be anything whatsoever. So there's a possibility to do that in the future for us there. Really nice, and there's lots of nice stuff. So I'm very
so
very,
like we could call Mark right now.
Yeah, I could do that.
That's
something in the future.
Thinking.
It's good to know.
And the last thing I'll mention is my 330 odd mile drive down and up again. I went through an awful lot of the book that I mentioned last week, which is Andy Weir's Hail Mary, and it's friggin' awesome. Fantastic book. I have 32 minutes of this book left, and I don't really want it to end. It's one of those.
Nice.
So it's the same guy that had done the Bob books, the Bob and the Universe books. There are similarities sort of in there. You can hear it, you know. But it's brilliant. There's lots of twists and turns and alien stuff, and it's great. Really good. Save the Earth, Save the World, and all that sort of stuff. I'm looking forward. So I highly recommend Hail Mary.
All right. Okay. Hail Mary.
Well, so yeah, Hail Mary. So week ahead, I took my sales team on Friday, and I'd done a sales meeting with them, just them. My boss was away. He's not interested, and he didn't really want me to do it, but I did it anyway, so I'm not employed in a week's time. We'll know all about it.
Oh, boy.
So, pushing on. Anyway, so week ahead, get stuck in. Hope it can't be any worse than last week. And, also we'll loop back to Vegas, and we'll just a wee bit of Vegas talk, but I'll stop for now.
Okay, Kim.
Yes.
I was trying to do this transition nicely earlier, but you know, because I kind of thought we were gonna do the bits and bobs, you know, kind of bouncing back and forth between one another, and then Robin just
couldn't shut up. Couldn't shut up. Yeah, I know.
It's all right. It's all right. And I have my wife now is yelling at me because I was like, "You are really loud." Because I hear her reading my son his stories right now, like, and it's just the doors in this office are super thin, so I'm all, "You are really loud." She just screamed back, "Too bad."
I should phone her.
All right, Kim, what's been going on with you?
Oh, you know, it is the first of the month. We all know what that means. Well, if you don't, you should by now. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, we have our calendar of the month, and this month is March, and we have Luke and Pageant. Pageant? Pageant. So, there you are. So
Pageant has a nice set of suspenders on, and right. Luke is a flurry, fluffy little kitten.
Probably, yeah. So, there you go. Yeah, you get to figure out which is which, or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you swing some other way. I don't care. Anyway, that's our calendar for the month.
Okay, no, honestly, Kim, if you did know, they actually were, they like, let's just say they did, they liked the same sex. They were not. Would that actually impact? I think that would have an impact, wouldn't it?
Well, I would think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're more into cats than you are firefighters, or maybe you're more into firefighters than you are cats. I don't know. I'm not judging. Although that is a little weird, but whatever.
I just say, would you want that up on your wall if you're just like, oh, here's a calendar, you know, gay guys?
Right.
It seems like it doesn't make sense for you, right? I don't know.
Right.
Call me crazy.
You know, whatever. Right. Let's see. We just went off.
I'm here to bring this podcast completely down.
Yeah, right.
What else, Kim?
Let's see. I guess we could talk about the bookshelf that almost killed me.
Yes, let's do talk about
this ladder type bookshelf, and it's probably got 50 pounds of books sitting on it and various other things. And I went to move it the other day because it was sitting on top of my lamp cord, and in the process of doing that, it went one way and I went another way, and a bottom shelf fell off, and I thought for a minute it was gonna fall on me and like kill me. So me being me, realizing this thing is gonna fall apart because apparently the screws were coming out of it, but it's like a 20-year-old bookshelf, so I mean, you know, it's gonna happen. So I ended up pulling everything off of it, and I had to go get some different wood screws, and I ended up putting it back together and fixing it. So hopefully it'll at least stay together for another week or two or a month till I can buy a new bookshelf. So, yeah.
Okay.
Watch those bookshelves, people.
Yeah. So this just reminds me, I'm pretty sure this was included in a past podcast at some point in time, but this would have been a very long time ago. I think my son was maybe 2 years old-ish. Mm-hmm. We were still living in San Jose in our condo. We had had a custom Murphy bed built for him. And the company that did it, they really weren't a furniture manufacturing company.
Right.
This is a longer story that needs to be. We had won a prize package for an outdoor patio makeover, but we lived on a second-story condo. We literally had no patio. So
right.
They said, well, we want to do something nice for you. And they're like, you know, could we come and kind of visit with your son and his therapy and just kind of understand what his needs might be? And so roundabout way, they said, well, what we would like to do is build a custom Murphy bed for him that has some different things in it that would be helpful for him in his, you know, his growing up and in just kind of physical therapy stuff. So we're like, absolutely all for it. And so they built this really cool, super heavy oak Murphy bed. It used actually Cadillac trunk or bonnet springs, basically, to help raise the bed up because it weighed so much.
Right.
And so they built it, installed it. And about a month later, I'm sitting in the kitchen. My son wasn't home, thank God. And I hear this huge crash noise.
Oh, shit.
And I walk into his, you know, where his bed is. And there was this center bookshelf area that they were supposed to have screwed into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they forgot to.
Uh-oh.
And it was only being held into the wall and into the pillars, the side pillars, by staples. And it basically, it gave way, flipped over, and there was a bunch of books inside of this bookshelf that it all dumped out into the bed. And if my son had been in that,
right,
he probably would have been severely injured. But it was just one of those very fortunate moments of life where you're like, thank God somebody was looking out for him.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway, sorry. Total tangent.
No problem. Like I said, same deal. I look like I'm swinging this thing around. But if you look over there in the corner, oh, I think I just bumped it. Never mind. So anyway, the bookshelf of death.
The podcast just said that was where the magic is.
That's where the magic happens, and that's where I, you know. Anyway, if you look over there in the corner, you can see the
are the handcuffs still there?
Yeah, probably. I see him on the floor, right next to Robin, who's doing nothing in the corner.
Right. So anyway, there's the bookshelf of death back there in the corner that eventually I'm going to replace with something more sturdy. So anyway, plus I need more room for my little gaming memorabilia because I seem to be collecting a lot of it lately.
I was just going to say, you have been.
Yeah, so anyway, aside from that, I've been playing a little more of my little Razor Edge Steam Deck Lite, whatever you want to call it. And it's been fun. Like I said, I'm pretty tickled with my purchase. I've been trying to figure out more things that I can kind of download on it to play more games because I have the Prime Gaming, I have Epic Game Store, all that sort of shit. Which brings me to Amazon Luna,
okay,
which is Amazon's cloud-based streaming, game streaming thing.
Yes.
It's, what is it, $10 a month, I think, and they give you like a whole catalog full of games, which, unfortunately for me, most of them I either have on Xbox or Steam or whatever. So, I don't know, I did the week trial, and it did do well. It ran well and everything else, but see, my problem is I can't verify spending $10 a month on this when I have most of the games on my Xbox or my PlayStation or my Steam, whatever. But it did run well. I was pretty impressed. I was sort of bummed because I was hoping that the Prime games would work on that as well as what the Luna offering was, but I couldn't figure it out. So, yeah, I'll figure it out one day. Somebody said something about I could actually install them on my Steam as non-Steam games or something, so I'll have to look into that. So anyway, other than that, that's about it. Like I said, I'm still getting over this cold. It kind of makes me sound like an 80-year-old man with a 5-pack a day habit some days. But, you know, we're getting there. We'll be here before long, and so hopefully the warm weather will help. So
that should definitely help.
Right? Mm. Other than that, that's it for me. So okay. What about you?
A couple of shows. Oh, God, maybe I should save that for the end. I'll talk about some of the funny things that happened. So last night we had a date night, and we came back, and we have respite care workers that'll come watch Colin while we go out on you know, date nights. So, you know, a couple hours to get away for dinner, maybe catch a movie, that kind of thing. And this young guy that we have that does this for Colin, his name's Javier. And so we came home, and he gets kind of sheepish at one point, kind of, because we always ask, you know, how did I go, and you know, anything happened, that kind of thing. And so he was like, well, he's like, so Colin kind of started to, like, he was like kind of playing with himself, and I'm like, great. I'm like, okay, well, you know, Colin is at that age that, you know, these things will happen.
Yeah.
And then he like kind of like pulled his diaper and pants down, and he's like, so I stepped out of the room. I'm like, why would you step out of the room? I'm like, my son has no idea what's going on. I'm sure he was uncomfortable, and so he was just trying to alleviate some of the discomfort of having little boy issues. But it was just so funny the way he said it. He's like, I stepped out of the room as though like he wanted to give him privacy. And I'm like, no. Brilliant. Anyway.
I hope you joined him.
Let's see. I continue to watch The Bad Batch. I just very much enjoy this animated series for Star Wars. Okay, let's talk about The Mandalorian.
Okay.
I started to watch episode one, and I'm gonna try and do this as much as I can, spoiler-free-ish, because I know everybody hasn't seen episode one yet. But here's the gist of where I'm at with The Mandalorian. And it is this really a good show? Or are we just giving it a big pass because it's Star Wars and we like The Mandalorian kind of look and vibe and he's kind of cool? But the show itself is... I think they're getting sloppy. Maybe this is the better way to put it. They're getting, I think, sloppy, and they're not paying attention to the little details. And so I'm going to give you some examples of that, trying to keep it somewhat spoiler-free, and some examples of just where I think the story is fucking stupid. Pardon me. Okay. The whole Mandalorian religion thing about, you know, we're not allowed to remove our helmets in front of anybody else. I think there were good intentions with this lore originally, but the Disney show took it to an extreme of they can't reveal themselves. They can't take the helmet off in front of anybody. That includes other Mandalorians. And
that's to make sex awkward. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, that precisely, because now we know they have kids apparently in this, you know. And so I'm just like, I think just maybe they should have walked this back a little bit and thought it through before they decreed this was the way, because this is being the way is kind of dumb. And then, you know, the other thing about, you know, we have this. So in this episode, there is a and this is slight spoiler, but an initiation moment where a young child is going to become a Mandalorian. Now, this young child, it looks like he was raised by wolves, you know, kind of fits, you know, like, you know, he's got hair that is clearly very long. And they put the helmet on the kid. And when you hear the helmet goes on, you hear it seal. It makes that sound, right? You're like, okay, it's performed a perfect seal around his neck and his head. Nothing can get in except for all his stupid hair sticking out the bottom of the helmet. And I'm like, one, why would you want – if you're going to be putting on a helmet for the rest of your life, you're not going to have long hair. That's the first thing that's going to go. Mm-hmm. Two, the fact that they wear these helmets the entire time, when they do take them off, i.e. the reveal of Pedro Pascal, his character, he shouldn't have a tan and like nice – kind of hair that looks like it's, you know, he should be ghostly white, pale, like Darth Vader was.
And have helmet head.
It's these little things that I'm like, okay, you're not paying attention to the details.
Yeah, but he's also clean shaven.
Exactly. It's just like, no, come on. These things would not make sense. And then there's the moment of there's a big fight. I'm not going to talk about the fight other than there's a big fight. But I was very much reminded of, there's a Geico commercial out, and it's a Halloween commercial where this girl and basically a bunch of teenagers are being chased by a guy with a chainsaw, and they're trying to escape. And the girl turns to the group and she's like, why don't we just get in the car? And you see, and the camera pans to a car that's running and it started. And the guy looks at her and he's like, don't be stupid. Let's go over there. And, you know, the over there is basically, you know, where a bunch of chains and a bunch of weapons and stuff are all hanging down. And it's basically like a death room. Mm-hmm. In this moment of this big fight, the entire time I'm watching this big fight, I'm like, just go in the fucking cave behind you. Problem solved. Literally problem solved. Instead, multiple people die.
I know, but that was the Elden Mines. And there were little dwarfs in there, so you know, from Lord of the Rings. It was like Alien Prometheus, where at the, near the end of it, the big wheel thing is rolling, and they keep on running. And why didn't they just step to the left or step to the right?
Indeed, boomers right, bad writing. I think that's part of the problem, because then at one point you hear one of the guys. Everybody, by the way, at this little ceremony thing is in full Mandalorian armor. Right? Except for the one kid being initiated. And he gets his helmet put on. And then this big fight breaks out. And you hear one of the guys scream, "Protect the children." What children? They're all Mandalorians. There's no children.
I watched it. I watched it. And it just felt like they were reaching for a story. The new storyline, he has to become a Mando.
And this is my last point about the Mandalorian maybe losing some of his luster. And I can't take credit for this. I read this, but I think it's absolutely true. The realities are that the Mandalorian, the show has devolved into episodic fetch quests. Every episode, it's Mandalorian, go here, go there.
Do this
take
for
him
me.
There.
Yeah.
Fetch this.
You'll get
do this for me.
Yeah.
He basically is an errand boy in armor. And so for that,
I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it too.
But I mean, I thought the last Star Wars-y thing was really, really good. What was it again? Andor was friggin' probably some of the best Star Wars-y
great writing
stuff.
Fabulous.
Brilliant.
And I don't even like Star Wars that much, but I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I think that Baby Yoda, not Baby Yoda, brings something to the story. Not really. I mean, he had really nothing.
No, he's part of the fetch quest.
Yeah.
All he is tell me what is the main point of the Mandalorian show? What is the overarching story of it? And there isn't. Is he supposed to be doing something to save the galaxy? No. Is he supposed to mentor Yoda or Baby Yoda into becoming Yoda? No.
I think he's just a babysitter, from what I gather.
Yeah.
That job. Honestly.
The babysitter errand boy. And let's just call him irresponsible parent, because at many times, how many times is Baby Yoda almost killed because the Mandalorian just takes him everywhere where he shouldn't? Anyway. So, John Wilson, you need to hear this. You need to understand I am correct. Because he tried to roast me on Twitter saying I was incorrect, that the show is great. It is not the best Star Wars content out. And I do think part of it is the writing has gone downhill a little bit. They're reaching for ideas at this point, to Robin's point. Anyway, okay. Enough about the Mandalorian. Oh God, what next? What else? Who else can I piss off? Let's talk about Vegas. So things are starting to be put in place. I created a schedule. This is not a hard, fast schedule. But I was just trying to kind of put some pieces to a calendar.
This is the Vodafone
voicemail
service for
0771.
Please leave the message after the tone.
John Wilson.
When you finish recording, please hang up or press the hash key for more options.
John, this is Robin here from the Overseas Connection podcast. And Greg has just challenged you over your putting him down over some Star Wars material. Greg, what have you got to say to John?
John, you are incorrect.
Yeah.
Absolutely incorrect.
Absolutely incorrect. So, John.
Thank you very much. Love it.
And we've hung up. I like this feature.
This is a good feature. Yes. So people in the chat can now expect crank calls. There we go. Yep.
Boomer, it's just as well I don't have your number. Oh, fuck, I do have your number.
We have Boomer's number, I'm pretty sure. All right. So Vegas prep has been happening. I have made us two dinner reservations now.
Ooh.
Those are locked in.
Good.
My
challenge with Vegas is January and February are just gone. When you mentioned the other day, it's only a few weeks away, which it really is only a few weeks away. I go, what happened to January and February? Where did they go? That's crazy.
Yeah. So gun ranges, kart racing, Top Golf. These are some of the different ideas I have for the group.
You have a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I've created a spreadsheet. There's subject to change, but I'm looking more or less. Here's my thinking. And again, anybody in the chat, if you have ideas, on things to do in Vegas. I know the obvious ones, the gambling, the clubs, we get it. But there's other things to be done. I'm trying to do like two kind of activities per day for us because I kind of figured that
out. Yeah, that's enough. Yeah. You know, we'll make it up.
Not too bad. It's not going to have us running ragged, and we'll still be able to get in the drinking, the fun, the gambling, and, you know, whatever kind of nonsense we can get into at poolside. Because I do anticipate it's going to be between 80 and 90 degrees when we're there. That's about the temperature. So anyway, it's taking shape. I'm excited. And I have set aside a sum of money that will be used at the blackjack tables. Yeah.
Oh my God.
By the way, Mike is going to be in trouble. Mike has this whole card counting thing, right? That he's been practicing.
Oh no.
Mike, newsflash. For the most part in Vegas now, unless you're at a high rollers table, which knock yourself out if that's what you want to do, but single card decks are pretty much gone. It's all multi deck counters, it's all machine done. There's zero way you're going to count cards. So. All right. Robin, let's talk news.
Yeah, but before we do that, let's just do this. Let's just do this. Like talk radio.
Oh,
come
God,
on, Boomer, pick up. Boomer, pick up.
Boomer, pick up, Boomer.
Pick up.
I'm here.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Hey,
hi, Gary.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Thank you very much, Boomer. You deserve a medal, sir, for coming on the chat every single week. And we have to abuse this every now and again. And it's, you're the first abused victim that's picked up.
Congratulations. I feel honored and abused.
Well, fair play,
honor and abuse. Well, thank you very, very much for tuning in every week. I'm sorry for dropping into it like that.
It's always a blast.
In the
you
future,
guys.
We might actually be prepared for a segment like this. Like maybe have a question to ask.
This is a live test.
I don't have any answers, unfortunately.
If you were to think of one thing to do in Vegas, what would it be?
Oh God! Hey, don't they have the things where you can go take the buggies out in the desert?
They do. My fear is we're going to be stranding Robin in the desert. Well, maybe it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
He wants to stay here. He wants to stay here anyway. Would that really be a bad thing?
Yeah. Sorry, darling. I'm not coming home.
Yeah. Judith may kill
you
me for that.
Well, no. What will happen would be you would have to bring the family over eventually. They would, you know, they can trickle over little by little. It'll work.
I like that. Trickle
I got
over.
A plan. Yeah, I got a plan. It'll work.
Okay.
No. Not like a lot of cargo. That's just wrong.
Just put them in DHL box. Yeah, with some of those little polystyrene bits. Yeah, Charlie would love that. In fact, definitely do it with one of the gentlemen this week. Absolutely. Here, look, just I wanted to give you.
That would be so wrong on so many different levels. We can't do that.
Well, you're a postal service. You could end up anywhere.
Right.
No. Yeah. Exactly. They would be lost, and you'd be screwed. So don't do that.
Yeah. So I remember the last time I was in San Francisco, I ordered an Amazon T-shirt just to annoy Greg from the hotel, and it arrived within hours, and then he nearly punched me. Gary, we're going on. Thank you very much for taking the call. All right.
No problem.
Speak to you, man.
Cheers.
See you, man. Bye.
Yep.
Well, this is a new feature that could be
that's really worked so well, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that worked very
all
well.
All right, what are we doing? Well, we're doing some news here, are we?
We are. Let's do some news.
Here is the fucking news.
Peachin, this is the difference between my little box and your little box. My little box does it for different things.
His little box is better, Pete. Speaking of Pete, by the way, we did not. You know, he's been on the podcast this entire time. His microphone completely shut off. But we have an image up for Pete.
Yep, that's Pete Chin.
Yep, Pete Chin. Thank you for making the podcast.
Over the last few days.
Lovely teeth. I don't know.
I know.
The way he's, smile. You know, he's holding the hair down there. He's, yeah. You know, he's fighting that.
He did dye his
hairline.
Yeah. Well, all right. Robin, let's talk about some
news. Some news. Counter-Strike 2 will be announced and reportedly enter beta as soon as this month, a prominent esports journalist has claimed. What? Counter-Strike 2? Why do they need to make one? It's still as popular as ever.
Maybe they're going to finally upgrade the graphics. I don't know.
Well, it's just a rumor. And Fortnite is reportedly getting a first-person mode next season. Never had first-person mode? Did you?
No.
That would be throwing all that stuff and making all those things. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there you go.
I think that is Fortnite also attempting to push in on Battlefield and Modern Warfare territory.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kim loves Fortnite now. She's like expert. Indeed. She's throwing it down, and she's got all the fancy dresses and clothes and all of that stuff now. She's handling it in a big way. Skinny. She's got all the chat down. Yeah. Capcom has confirmed its next digital event for next week. Capcom Spotlight will stream on Thursday, March the 9th at 2:30 PT and 10:30 GMT. With a pre-show 20 minutes earlier. According to the publisher, the main event will feature on news on Resident Evil 4, Exoprimal, Monster Hunter Rise, Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection, and Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. So, there you go. If you're Capcom, get into your Capcom stuff.
Yep, get into your Capcom.
Ghost Trick sounds like a ghost hooker sort of thing, but all right.
Okay.
Whatever.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, his Austrian courts say that FIFA packs
easy for you to say
constitute gambling and orders PlayStation refunds. And it's damn right, because you never know what you're getting in one of those little packs. A court in Austria has ruled that FIFA Ultimate Team packs are a form of gambling and have ordered PlayStation maker Sony, is that who makes the PlayStation, to issue refunds. According to Games Witchcraft, a small court in the district of Hermungar, found in favour of several Austrian players who sued Sony in 2020. The suit alleged that the plaintiffs, including one minor, he's not that minor, he's quite important, had gambled away over 400 euros on the football simulator. Okay, that's... Yeah, all those pack things, you go on about it. You know, the ability to purchase these loot boxes has been removed in selected territories, such as Benelux, but the majority of regions remain unchanged. So, you know.
Yeah, this is one of those...
kids love
them. Kind of, you're suing the deep pockets, because obviously Sony doesn't make FIFA. So, they got brought into this court case because the person bought the FIFA packs through the Sony marketplace. So Sony ultimately gets to refund it, but I think this really is an EA problem.
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, within this, they said that there are a number of regions that have, there are select regions where they do not offer these packs anymore because their laws in those regions kind of forbid and basically have ruled that this is a form of gambling. And I guess the sticking point on this, just to kind of dive into the article, comes from the contents of the packs themselves. And it says, while the item types the players receive are guaranteed, i.e. you'll always receive 30 gold items in an X pack, you know, whatever, the quality of the players in those packs is randomized and they have different values. And therefore it kind of incentivizes players to open endless packs with the hopes of receiving something that is good compared to something that's more just normal or random, you know, kind of basic. So,
well, I know this is a very small court case. I mean, Sony are screwed here because they've been ordered to repay 338 euros and 26 cents. I suppose this is the leak in the dike that if there's a class action group of people, that's where it becomes a problem for EA / Sony or
100%. Yeah, this is like a springboard. You know, if Sony got hit with this, then EA absolutely is next.
I don't like them. I mean, the kids want to buy them, and I'm saying, no, not spending your money on this stuff. And like a lot of content, like Rocket League and all of that sort of stuff, and Fortnite especially as well, is you know, the next season. It's just death by a thousand cuts and money and just keep on going. And then they move on to the next game and then it's all forgotten about. And it's just, I get it. You get pleasure out of it. But the way it's been marketed to the kids, And when we were kids, I mean, you probably had them as well. We had football cards.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. so you yep. everybody swapped card them around, packs. And some people walked about with a big massive pile with elastic bands around them, and it's a similar sort of thing, I suppose. You went in and you bought your 50p or your pound pack of cards, grandstand yeah. or whatever it was, and yeah, but this
you know,
is,
and in fairness to that, because we still have those, they're still very popular out mm. here. You know, I see them. You go by the stores, you see trading card packs all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, Yugui or whatever it's called.
There's no difference.
Yeah,
and I think the difference really is. It's the money at the end of the day. FIFA mm-hmm. is so wildly popular. It's a very big target. Excuse me. But I mean, the trading card industry is doing this exact same thing. So why are they not getting hammered for being gambling? I don't know.
But the next story is a problem.
Uh-oh.
So I have an Xbox Series X fridge. Okay? It's kind of cool. Literally. And it is about 2.5 times the size of an Xbox Series X. It'll hold about 8 or 10 small cans of beer, and there's little shelves, and it's cool and it looks brilliant. I mean, people think it's the Xbox. Wow, that's big. No, it's about the same size as the PlayStation. But now there's going to be a Series S toaster. The appliance is said to be planned as part of a new range of licensed Xbox products, according to the images. I wonder if I could do this to show people this. This would be fun. And I'll slide that up there. Let people see this here. You have just to see this boyo. And I'm going to stick that on. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just basically, I mean, it's the Series S chassis, but at the top there's two slots for toast.
There you go. It's a toaster. It looks like a radio. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Groovy. So you can have toast. I made toast tonight. I would make toast in one of those. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
So is it needed? I don't know. It's a licensed deal as well, so I guess I'm not as like alarmed. If this was coming from Xbox themselves, like they were putting time into doing this,
yeah,
I might be taking kind of more like, hey, maybe you should focus in on games a little bit, because that's been a struggle. But this is a licensed thing, so it's a third party. Somebody is creating this, and then
yeah,
you know, Xbox will make some royalties.
So tell me, do you have a toaster like this at home, Greg?
Not like that.
No. Do you have a toaster? Countertop toaster.
Yes.
Do you put your countertop toaster away when you're finished with it?
No.
Or does it always stay on the counter?
Ours stays on the counter.
What about you, Kim?
I put mine away.
Yeah. We put ours away as well.
Yeah.
And it could come out twice a day or so, in the morning and the evening. I made toast and banana for the kids tonight, and it goes away in the cupboard.
It boils down to a couple things. So there's certain
It's religion.
Appliances
it's a religion thing.
It's a religion thing, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or... you know, it's, you know, the appliances and what kind of blends into the countertop and what kind of fits with your decor. So our toaster is actually, it's like a brushed aluminum.
wow. Thank God for that.
So it's got that brushed steel look. It matches up nicely with our backsplash area. And so we have it sitting up kind of in the corner.
Okay.
We do take most of our cooking appliances back off the counter.
Oh, there you go.
They go away.
Just sorry, sidetrack. Just it says a lot about people's personalities and who they are, where you keep your toaster.
Also important, whatever toaster you get, make sure it can cook bagels.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A toasted bagel is awesome.
Big slam.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Or soda bread, if you're from Northern Ireland. Nintendo has taken Wii U games, Mario Kart 8 and Splatoon offline for security reasons. Allegedly, people tried to take over a building with one Mario Kart, and it failed. They tried to crash it into the doors, but the police opened the doors and let them on in anyway. But still, it's a security risk. And both games were taken offline at 8:30 p.m. on Thursday. To fix the issue, Nintendo suggests it may be days before they're back online. We have identified vulnerabilities with online play for these services and have begun temporary emergency maintenance. What's going to happen?
I don't know, but I actually forgot.
Wii U?
So I have a vulnerabilities story to unfortunately talk
about.
Oh,
I know you're vulnerable.
So I get a call from Cindy on Friday afternoon. And she's like, hey, I need you to go into my computer and change my password for my bank account.
Uh-oh. Like,
okay. Exactly. The nightmare began from there. Like, her, I guess she had a similar password for multiple accounts that were financially related. Things like online websites where you could buy stuff, and it was just a nightmare trying to get passwords changed and literally seeing in real time these hackers attempting to get into her accounts.
Wow.
With resetting the passwords and stuff. But fortunately, we were able to kind of get through it quickly and kind of identify and block. I do love websites, and I hope more websites will put in the feature of in the settings when you're, you know, like resetting your password to also log out of all devices.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have that. It's amazing how many don't, but it's such a handy feature for like, yeah, no. I want everybody out, and then of course you reset the password, and then they can't get back in.
Exactly.
Makes it much easier to deal with.
I'm kind of
anyway.
Kind of amazed you've continued to let me use that Visa card, even though you paid for the F1. We've bought so much stuff over the last year with it. It's been great. EU,
you know,
unlikely to demand asset sales and Microsoft Activision merger. We need a jingle. While UK regulator CMA recently suggested that structural remedies might be required for it to approve the deal, such as Activision Blizzard selling off the Call of Duty franchise. Is that happening? Some things Microsoft has said is not feasible or realistic, Reuters reports. That is not expected to be the case in Brussels. Three people said to be familiar with the matter, who are the three people, claimed the Xbox maker's willingness to offer game licensing deals to rivals like is likely to address EU antitrust concerns over the $69 billion deal.
Yeah, and there's a few different stories related to this, but in terms of the EU in particular, they're set to reveal, I think, April 21st or something like that. It's next month, their final decision. But I guess the deals that Microsoft struck with NVIDIA and Nintendo are kind of the behavioral remedies they wanted to see. And so according to a number of sources, they expect the EU will approve this deal without any substantial remedies now, because Microsoft has been proactive in taking some remedies that they feel addresses the issues at hand.
But the thing is, weren't they already trying to do that before it hit the fan?
Way, way long.
Well, and that's where I think a lot of us also, even in the news media, jumped the gun on like the CMA.
Right.
So people have to understand, when the CMA came out with that original ruling saying that they were likely not in favor of this deal, based on what they knew at the time, they very clearly said they had not considered, or to that point, any structural or behavioral remedies, but they were open to those as ways to, you know, potentially get this deal to pass through. Microsoft had already been doing those deals and those remedies, but these governing bodies were basically saying, well, we haven't even considered any of that yet, but here's kind of what we feel on the surface. So I now feel pretty confident, at least from the EU and the CMA side, this likely pushes through. The FTC is going to be a more interesting scenario. We'll talk about that in a minute, too.
And especially with this next piece here, that the FTC has told PlayStation it has to reveal third-party exclusivity deals. The Federal Trade Commission has largely denied Sony's request to quash a Microsoft subpoena requesting that it divulge confidential documents. Microsoft served Sony with the subpoena in January as part of its defense building process ahead of the FTC lawsuit regarding regarding its proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard. The subpoena included 45 separate requests. We like 45. 45 is a good number. A request for Sony documents included copies of every third-party licensing agreement Sony has and all drafts of communications regarding SIE President Jim Ryan's declaration to the FTC. So Sony's attempt to quash or limit the subpoena, arguing that the number of requests were either irrelevant to the case or too time-consuming. I think this is class. Sorry, it's Sony on the back foot, you know, because they don't want to. We have exclusivity deals coming on that is exactly the same as this. Mm-hmm. and we're not going to talk about it. So, most notable among Sony's requests was that that in order to produce a copy of every content licensing agreement it has entered into with any third-party publisher between January the 1st, 2012 and present to be quashed. A request has been denied. One request the FTC did grant Sony, however, was to limit the date of the documents being requested as such. Only documents dated 1st of January 2019 to the present date will be required. I'm quite sure that that will open a few eyes.
Oh, yeah. I think this is going to be a very interesting reveal once it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get why Sony was saying it was a lot because, I mean, you're talking 2012. It was literally in the hundreds of thousands of documents. But just even going back to 2019, you know, Sony's going to have to reveal
Spider-Man, all that sort of stuff.
And also, don't forget, Activision has access to all of the deals they made with Sony for the exclusivity of Modern Warfare to PlayStation. And I think what's going to be interesting is the terminology, not just about the exclusivity deal, but about keeping it off of Game Pass or keeping it, you know, and I think this is going to be the interesting one. If there's language in there to say you're not even allowed to say if this is ever going to come to another platform. So, you know, I think the way they have utilized exclusivity deals has been very much to, you know, position Sony as it's exclusive to us completely. You know, and at a later time you can reveal it, but up until then it stays totally silent. So, again, this is all the interesting stuff that's going to come forward. It'll be interesting to see if once the EMA, sorry, the CMA and the EU, if they do approve, does maybe Sony pull back? Because I don't think Sony wants these documents out in the public.
I think they've backed themselves into a corner now.
Yeah.
You know,
it'll be interesting to see if they, in face of this, withdraw their, you know, the opposition. I don't think they will, but maybe if it's really damning stuff,
watch it spin.
Yeah. So we'll see. Well, again, I love this stuff. I think it's fascinating. It's interesting, but also I get everybody's a little tired of it. We just want it to be over. It is all seemingly coming to a head sooner rather than later. So.
Right.
Excellent.
Okay. And that's it. And that's the news.
News.
Yeah. News.
Kim.
Yes.
We've got games to talk about. We can actually go all the way back to the games that we pay for that we get for free that's coming in the month of March.
Yeah, because I did update those. So, you know.
You did or did not?
I did.
Excellent. Well, then let's talk about them.
All righty. Your games with gold for March are Trouber Brook, which is available now through the end of the month, which is a sci-fi mystery sort of thing. Set in the 60s, I think, if I remember right. Sudden Strike 4, Complete Edition, or Collection, sorry, which is also available now at the end of the month. That's some sort of a turn-based strategy thing, I think. And then we have Lamentum, which is also is available the 16th through April 15th, and that is a survival horror sort of thing. So, yeah, that one I won't be getting because I'm a chicken. Anyway, on to your PlayStation Plus for March, we have Battlefield 2024, which is apparently much better now. So if you haven't, go get it. You can pick it up for nothing. Assuming you've paid for your PlayStation Plus. Minecraft Dungeons, I think we all know what that is by now. And then Code Vein. Then scrolling further down, we have your Amazon Prime games for March. We have Baldur's Gate, the Enhanced Edition, which I picked up this morning. Adios, which is out March 9th. I Am Fish, which is also out March 9th. Far Away 3, Arctic Escape, March 16th. Book of Demons, March 23rd. Peaky Blinders, Mastermind, March 23rd as well. And City of Legends, Trapping in a Mirror, Collector's Edition. All right, whatever. March 30th as well. So there you go for your Prime games. There's a few in there I'll be picking up. And then we have your Epic Games for March. We have March 2nd to the 9th. We have Rise of Industry. So you've got a few more days on that one. And then March 9th to March 16th, we have Call of the Sea. So there you go. Go get your free games you pay for in a roundabout way. It's scrolling down to where he releases, which I'm assuming is where we go next. I mean, that's pretty much the only other thing we haven't talked about yet.
Pretty much. I figured he would just, you know, follow the path.
Yeah, well,
this is
you know.
Kim, this is the way.
This is the way? Yeah, I was waiting for that one. Alrighty.
That's the best part of the whole friggin' thing.
Your new releases for March 5th through the 11th are Dead Cells, Return to Castlevania for the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on March 6th. Outlanders for the PC on March 7th. Clash, Artifacts of Chaos for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, and PC, March 9th. Fatal Frame, Mask of the Lunar Eclipse for the PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, and the Xbox One, Switch, PC, March 9th. IBS, Irritable Bowel Syndrome. No, it's IB, whatever that stands for, I couldn't tell you, but it's for the Switch on March 9th.
I'd be curious.
I hear that about you. No Way Heart for the Switch, also on March 9th. Look at the Switch go with a bunch of games that I've never heard of. Monster Energy Supercross 6 for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, and PC on March 9th. Oni, Road to the Mightiest Oni. Well, you go, Oni. For the PS5, PS4, Switch, and PC, March 9th as well. Session, Skate Sim for the Switch. God, there's a lot of Switch today. For the March 9th as well. And, oh, yeah, there's a couple more. All right, Before Your Eyes for the PlayStation VR 2 on March 10th. And DC's Justice League, you say that one. Cosmic Chaos.
Easy for you.
Right? PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC on March 10th as well. So there you are. There's nothing really there that jumps out at me too madly, so.
No,
that's all right. I got plenty to play anyway, so.
Yeah, looks like a number of indie games hitting the Switch. And PSVR 2, I am going to be really curious to hear sales numbers for that device as we kind of learn at the end of March how that launch went. Because I'll be honest. I mean, I heard some great things kind of leading into it. People saying, you know what, it's very much improved. And then right as it was launching, like some of that narrative kind of dialed back a little bit and it was a little more middling. And now I just don't hear anybody talking about PSVR 2.
The racing community, simming community have embraced it because of GT7. It is supposed to be fabulous. But even some of the guys that I watch closely on YouTube, I've played it and you know, I'm going to spend a whole day playing it. Book.
right.
Yeah, they last about an hour. And I think it is, like VR, it is one of those things you don't do all day. I mean, you can imagine all the movement in a car and it might look fantastic, but wow. Maybe not just, it's a nice thing, but do people want the cable and the bill?
Cable, the bill. I mean, but in fairness, outside of the Quest or the Quest 2, I mean, the bill's not that much. I mean, compared to the other headsets out there.
Yeah.
But
anyway, I don't think there's the appetite for it.
I'm out on it because my balance sucks anyways. Could you see me with the fucking VR thing strapped to my head? Oh my god, I'd be on the floor more than I'd be up on my 2 feet.
Nothing
so,
different about that. No, usually on the floor. I think the biggest problem is VR at the beginning was, I'm going to get one of those to try it. But I don't think there was lots of ordinary folk got it and they tried it for a while and they collected dust in the corner and probably still is. And the ones that got the Quest there as well, which just like the upgrade route for Quest is not probably as popular now because it's the hardcore VR people and the new people to VR rather than the people, we already have that. Don't want another one. It was just all right. I'd done that thing in the Shark Tank with the PSVR and the shooty little demo thing in a van shooting people and a few other bits and pieces, but do I really want another one to do that again?
And I think to your point, Robin, I think two things helped kind of like raise the fervor on PSVR or VR, I should say, but also have hurt it in the long run. It's one, we had a lot of experiences and not a lot of like quality, good, meaty games, but a lot of experiences. I was at Resident Evil. Apparently, the newest one that is available on PSVR 2 is good.
Oh, dear God.
But so we have experiences that are the majority of what you get.
Mm.
And then I feel like everybody saw Ready Player One and they're like,
I want that.
This is what I want. Yeah. I want that.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And then we got it and it was like, this is not that. And so, yeah, I just think we're still a little ways off. And maybe just maybe hell, maybe COVID even kind of plays into it a little bit in that we realize we don't want to be cooped up by ourselves. We are social people. We do like being around others. And so the thought of being holed up with nobody around you, just you yourself, and it's not that appealing.
Absolutely. It's why some of my best friends are 5,000 miles away. Absolutely.
Hey. But you know what?
All right.
What are we doing in May? We're going to Vegas.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll talk to you through my virtual headset the entire time.
Absolutely. Bring your VR. We'll do it. We'll sit outside the Venetian.
Have VR headsets on. Oh, my goodness. Hey, if you have enjoyed the show so far.
Hopefully.
Good job. We are happy you made it this far. Shout outs to Lord, to Boomer, both in the chat. We'll have to get Lord's WhatsApp number or phone number, and we can heckle him in the future as well. All right, we are going to wrap this show up now. This is kind of what we do because we've been talking for a little while, and we've got stuff to do.
Yes, we do. Unless somebody wants to do the chores for me, that'd be great. Yeah.
Nope. Not at all.
Fine.
You can come back next week, though, because we will be on next week. Sunday is 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, and 3 p.m. Kim's time. Shout outs, Kim. Let's just start it off. Shout outs. Let's go.
All righty. Shout out to Boomer. Absolutely. Always wanting to play COD and dying, because usually that's what we do. It is fun regardless of that. Because I never claim to be real great at any of these things. So, you know, shout out to Boomer for that. Shout out to Lord for being in the chat. So thanks for that. Shout out to you guys, as always, because you guys are kind of like my little mental health day, in a way, because otherwise I'm around children. And, well, they're why my mental health is why it is.
Yep.
So anyway, thanks for that. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's a better week next week for all of you. And over to Robin.
Absolutely. Gary, good lad for taking that call. Fair play to you, because it was a random number as well. And thank you very much. More of that to come, I think, in the future. Everybody have a great week, and I hope it's a good, positive one for you all. And I'll see you all next week. Take us home.
Well, thank you to the two of you for making the show.
Sure.
Also, thank you both for what feels like we all agreed on my take on Star Wars, which I loved. John, again, you're wrong.
I'm done, and I approve.
And shout out to my dad, who is in recovery. Shout out to my mom, who is in recovery from dealing with my dad.
Right.
And shout out to my sisters. God, I love them, but we don't need updates every hour. at this point, we're good. And shout out to my wife. I got to give her some props, some love. She sent me a very funny message in return after I said you're being very loud. I will regret that comment, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
She's probably putting.
I should have phoned her and brought her onto the show. I should have done that
in the future.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, we're done.
We're done.
Let's get out of here.
Out of here.
Wrap it up.
See you guys. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
Caw-caw.